Today's Shir is Masechta Bechorah, Daf Yud, and we will begin on Daf Tes Samad Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. In our previous Shir, the Gemara had discussed the Machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. If a Petach Hamor, before it's redeemed, is Mutar or Asa Bahano, with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda being that it's Asa Bahano, and the opinion of Rabbi Shimon being that it's Mutar Bahano. Says the Gemara, Amarava, Maidr of Shimon. Rav Shimon, however, is Maidr de la'acha harifa shuasar. That, as we know and we will discuss, if somebody has a petach amar, he has either the option of redeeming it on a seh or decapitating it with harifa, that if he chose to do harifa, after harifa, that petach amar is also bahano. Ask them, my time, why does Rav Shimon say that? Says the Gemara, Gama Arifa, Arifa Magla Rufa. He learns Xeri Shava, the word Arifa from Egla Rufa. And just like by Egla Rufa, we know the halach of Egla Rufa is that if a corpse is found, a murdered corpse, we don't know who was the one that murdered him, and it's between two cities, they determine which is the closest city to that corpse, and they bring a egla, they bring a calf, and they go through a whole procedure, and part of the procedure is decapitating it. So too is the halacha by the petach hamor that it's osur bahana. Amar Rava, mena amin Allah, says Rava, from where do I take this halacha? So he says the Tanya, for we learned in a braisa, and the subject of this braisa is tumas oichlim. We know that food can become tameh and transmit tumah. So says the Braisa Orla, which we know is fruit that grows on a tree in the first 3 years of the tree's existence. Kalei kerem, where we planted in a vineyard, are the grains or vegetables. Those produce are osur because they're kalei kerem. Shaar niskal is if an animal was sentenced to death, the meat has tumas eichlin. And of course the Rishonim asked the obvious question. If it's a shaar haniskal and it was killed by skila, then it's an avela. An avela is a much higher level tumah than tumas eichlin. So why do we have to say that it has tumas eichlin? So they give the answer that indeed, if the animal was killed, it would be an avela. But what happens if instead of killing the animal with skila, shchita was performed? So it's not an avela, but it's still osur bahano. And that's why the Braisa has to teach us that it's subject to tumas eichlin, one pshat. But then there's another pshat, and this pshat's going to be used in a number of situations. And that is, indeed, tumas nevela is a much higher level of tumah than tumas eichlin. But tumas nevela has a shear of a kezayis, and tumas eichlin has a shear, which is actually larger, of a kebeya. But let's say you'll have a food, tumay food, that's less than a kebeya. And now you'll have the shaar niskal, a piece of shaar niskal meat. Can it combine to have a kebeya? And that's what the Braisa is teaching us, that it can. Again, Egla Rufa, and the same question comes up with Egla Rufa. The animal has been decapitated. So if it's been decapitated, it's in the vela. So how, of course it's tummy. Why do I have to say it's tummy, Thomas Eichlin? So the terrors that I just gave applies here as well. But there are other terutim as well that the Rishonim suggest. One terrors the Rishonim suggest is that if instead of doing Darifa, instead of doing decapitation, they did shchita, so that animal is subject, so it's not a nevela. Or another teretz is that there are opinions that hold that since the Torah requires that this animal be decapitated, decapitation doesn't make it into a nevela. You followed the instructions. Tzipira mitzaira, which is, we know that two birds are brought in the purification process of the mitzaira, and the bird that is slaughtered is subject to tumas eichlin. Petach hamor is what we speak about. And here too, the question is, a petach hamor is decapitated. It's a nevela. So again, the teretz, that's the easiest teretz to keep on using. If the questions could be used for the shear of a kebaya. Another teretz says that we're speaking here about a situation where a petach hamor was slaughtered and it's still mefarchis, a complicated sugyum sechtachun that we can't review. Or bas b'cholov, if we have bas b'cholov, even though we're not allowed to eat bas b'cholov, obviously, kulan, all of this food are metamet mesoichlim. That is the opinion of the Rabbanan, whose reasoning we're going to explain soon. Rav Shimon, however, holds, kulan ein metamet mesoichlim. They're not subject to mesoichlim, because you're not allowed to eat them. They're osa b'hanah. And a food that's osa b'hanah cannot be subject to mesoichlim. However, umayd Rav Shimon does agree that bas b'chol metamet mesoichlim. That even though you're not allowed to eat bas b'cholov, obviously, it does have tumas oichlin. Why does it have tumas oichlin? Hoyel for hoysel shasa kosher. At one point it was kosher. So since at one point you were allowed to eat, in other words, what's the definition of bas b'cholov? You started with kosher meat, you started with kosher milk, it's fine. Only when you combine them do you have a problem. That's why it's subject to hilchas tumas oichlin. So the Mefarshim ask, one of the fundamental halachas, we'll speak about this halacha again, is that if a food is not roi l'achilas kelev, it's totally inedible, it's not subject to tumas oichlin. But let's think about that food. It started off as a good food. It got spoiled. And now our Gemara is teaching us a concept of shasa kosher, that if it was once a food, it always remains a food. So why don't we say that concept even when it becomes ein roi l'achilas kelev? So the Chaznish says a very nice fart. He says, when a food is not roi l'achilas kelev, it's not a food. So yes, it had a shasa kosher, but if it's not roi l'achilas kelev, it's not a food. And the din of tumas oichlin was only set on food. Bas b'cholov is a food. It's a food that we're not allowed to eat, and therefore it's very different. V'Rav Yochanan, my time Rav Shimon that says all these other foods are not subject to tumas oichlin. Because the Torah, when it speaks about tumas oichlin, says mikola oichla sheyochel, which teaches us oichel shat yochel achila cherim, food that you're allowed to eat and you could feed to others that are not osabano kari oichel, and is in the category of tumas oichlin. However, food she at yochel achila lacherim, it's osabano, you can't feed it to anyone, any kari oichel. So ask the Gemara, let's stop for a moment. The Gemara just said that Rav Shimon holds that all of these foods that were listed are not subject to tumas oichlin because they're osa b'hanah. Bas b'cholov, he said a chiddush. Hoyel v'hoyos lo shasa kosher. Ask them, why do you have to say that chiddush? We could have said an easier word. Yehoch bas b'cholov. When Rav Shimon says the bas b'cholov is subject to tumas oichlin, my area, why did he choose to explain the reason that it's subject to tumas oichlin is the hoyos lo shasa kosher? He should have said an easy reason. Typically, the oichel shat yochel achel mechirim hu. Because of Shimon's opinion is, as we remember, the bas b'chol is not also b'hana. The Tanya, as we learned in Masech Techulin, of Shimon ben Yehuda, oimim Mishim Rav Shimon, bas b'chol is also b'achila and muta b'hana. Shinema, why does he pask in this way? Because the Torah says, by bas b'chol ki am kadosh ata l'ashem l'kecha, l'ohal en oimer, regarding meat that's treifa, the anshi kodesh tierli, ma lahalon, just like by treifa meat, the halacha is that it's osu b'achila umuta b'hano, af by bas b'chalov, af kan, says Rav Shimon by bas b'chalov, it's osu b'achila bat b'hano. So Mar's question is, why did Rav Shimon have to come up with this creative reason, that the reason bas b'chalov is subject to tumas oichlin is because it had a shasa kosher? Could have said so much of an easier answer. It's subject to basa b'chala, it's subject to tumas oichlin, because it's muta b'hana. Answers the Gemara, that's indeed the way to understand the b'raisa. Chadav oid kama. He's actually suggesting two reasons. Number one, basa b'chala is subject to tumas oichlin. Darich l'shati yochel achir mechiruhu. It's food that you'll have an off from. V'oid. And furthermore, says the Gemara, l'lidei namali harei hois lo shasa kosher. It was shasa kosher before it became bas b'cholov, when it was meat alone and food alone. So ask the Mefarshim, Rashi, other Rishonim, Let's think about Shor HaNiskel. Shor HaNiskel also had a Shasa Kosher before it became a Shor HaNiskel. Egla Rufa had a Shasa Kosher before it became designated to be the Egla Rufa. It was saying a Svar of Shasa Kosher. So Rashi answers, when was that Shasa Kosher? When it was alive. When it's alive, it's Osir, because it's Eina Zavuach. That's how Rashi learns. So it never really had a Shasa Kosher, because while it's alive, it's also Osir, you're not allowed to eat a live animal. That's what Rashi says here. But other Rishonim say another nice Pshat. When we speak about Tumah, that's what the subject we're talking about, Tumas Oichlim, something that's alive is not subject to Hilchas Tumah. Hilchas Tumah only applies to dead animals. So the fact that the animal, when it was alive, was not Osir, when it's alive, Tumah isn't the question. We're always speaking after it's dead, and after it's dead, it never had a Shasa Kosher. Bas B'chol is not alive or dead thing, so it's a different category. But now it makes the Gemara, now it gets the Gemara to the punchline. Vim Isa. If Reb Shimon's opinion is, the La'ach Arif Ashari, that just like Reb Shimon learned in our previous year, that a Petach Hamor is Mutter while it's alive, we're going to say, says the Gemara, that after the Arif, it's also Mutter Banor. So when Reb Shimon said that there are certain things in this list, because they're Mutter Bahanor, the subject of Tumas Oichlim, why do you only say Bas B'chalof? He should have said a Petach Hamor after Arifa is also subject to Tumas Oichlim. It's Mutter Bahanor. And according to Reb Shimon, if it's Mutter Bahanor, it's subject to Tumas Oichlim. Vim Isa. If the halacha according to Reb Shimon is the La'acha Arifa Shari Reb Shimon, that after Arifa Reb Shimon holds it's Mutter Bahanor, listening, so we should have mentioned one more case. The Mordei of Shimon Petach Hamor or Bas B'chalov Shimon Tam Tumas Oichlim. He doesn't say that. He only spoke about Bas B'chalov. He didn't speak about Agro Rufa. A Petach Hamor after Arifa. You know why? It must be because he holds that the Petach Hamor after Arifa is also B'hanor. And that's why it's not Tam Tumas Oichlim. Says the Mordei, the Raya is not a Raya. Either Choshvele, because it could well be that Reb Shimon would hold that if one decided to use that Petach Hamor meat, Hachinami, it would be subject to Tumas Oichlim. Hachimai Skinen. What the reason it's not? But indeed it could be that since Reb Shimon will hold that Petach Hamor meat after Arifa is Mutter Bahanor, if somebody wanted to use it for food, it would be Tamat Tumas Oichlim. So we're up to as follows. Rava began the shiur with a statement that if Shimon holds that a Petach Hamor after Arif is Osir Bahanor, he learns it from Egla Rufa, and he wanted to use this subject of Tumas Oichlin as a Raya, the Raya is not a Raya. He sticks to his position, but the Raya is not a Raya. But now that we quoted, says the Gemara, the opinion of the Rabbanan, who hold that all these foods that are Osir Bahanor, still I'm a Tamat Tumas Oichlin, we need to understand why. Ask the Gemara. V'tama mai mitam Rabbanan. Why did Rabbanan hold that all these foods that are Osir Bahanor are still subject to Tumas Oichlin? Answers the Gemara. Amru Rabbanan kameid Rav Shish hoil v'isuruch shuvah. As Machlokes Rishonim to understand these very powerful words of v'isuruch shuvah. Rashi learns the fact that the Torah HaKadosha goes out of its way to tell us we're not allowed to eat these foods. That means the Torah tells us Jews that these are foods. They're foods, but don't eat them. So that's why the subject of Tumas Oichlim. That's how Rashi learns. Rabbeinu Gershom has a different pshat, an easier pshat. It's much closer to the words of the Gemara. Anything that the Torah addresses, anything that the Torah says is usur, that gives it a chshivas, and that chshivas makes it subject to Tumas Oichlim. And to help us understand the nafkamina between Rashi and Rabbeinu Gershom, I'll give you the nafkamina. What's the nafkamina? What would be if there's a food that's not only usur to Yisrael, but it's also usur to Bnei Noach, Evi Menachai? According to Rashi, we won't say the svara of Yisur Cheshuvai. Because Rashi says the fact that the Torah told us, Klal Yisrael, that we're not allowed to eat it, that's why we say Yisur Cheshuvai. But if he didn't speak to Yisrael, he spoke to Akum, also, then there's no Yisur Cheshuvai. According to Rabbeinu Gershom, it makes no difference. The fact that it's also makes it chashiv and makes it subject to Tumas Oichlim. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed the reasoning behind the Rabbanan's opinion? Urabana mi omer. Hoyl visuru chashuva. Is that the reasoning behind their position? Vatanan. The Mishnah says, Emesechta taharis. Shloish asa dvarim nemru benevelis oif tar. There were 13 halachas that were said regarding the nevelis oif tar. Vizu achs mehen. One of the halachas is, tzricha machshava. That in order that it should be subject to tumas oichlin, you have to decide to use it as a food. On the other hand, venetzricha hechshav, which is a halacha that we learned many times, Masechta Chulin. The halacha, one of the most fundamental halachas of Hilchas Tumah, is that food, in order that it should be susceptible to Tumah, has to become mukhsh lekabel Tumah. That means it has to become wet. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Kiyuta mayim. It has to become wet. However, there is an exception to that rule. If it's soifer letama, Tumah chamura, if ultimately it's going to get a very high level Tumah, then the requirement of Cheshev falls away. Nevelis Oiftar is a case that's going to have a Tumah Chamura. Because we learned the halacha is that if somebody eats a Nevelis Oiftar and it's in his base habliya, it's in his throat, he becomes Tameh to the degree that everything that he wears is Tameh. So since a Nevelis Oiftar is subject to a very high level Tumah Chamura, the din of Hechsher falls away. But what does it say here? That in order for it to be subject to Tumas Oichlin, you need machshava. Ask the Gemara, v'yichsuru cheshuva, if we just said a svara, that whenever something is osur, it automatically is subject to Tumas Oichlin, lovingly machshava. Why is machshava required according to the Rabbanan? Answers the Gemara, great question. Hamani, who's the town of that Mishnah of Shimonhi? According to the Rabbanan, Nevelis Oiftar is always Tumas Oichlin. Rabbanan, that's according to Rabbanan. Rav Shimon doesn't agree to that concept. That Mishnah is following Rav Shimon's opinion. Tashma, there's a Mishnah, a Masechta Oiktsin. Nevelis behemah tameya b'kamakim. The nevela of a behemah tameya everywhere, because they normally, this is the simple pshat, and then I'll tell you another pshat that Rav Shimon suggests. They normally did not eat nevela behemah tameya because it was repugnant to them. And only if they really had no other choice did they eat an available behemoth tameya. That's the pshat we're going to work with. And we're going to work with this pshat throughout. There's another pshat that an available behemoth tameya carries with it two isurim. It's a behemoth tameya, it's a non-kosher animal, and it's an available. So since it carries with it two deficiencies, you need to have machshava to make it into an oikel. The nevela's oiftar, or the nevela of a kosher bird, the achela b'kfarim. So the way we've always learned is as follows. The kfarim were the villages, and that's how we learned the Masechta Chulin. And the people in the villages were typically poor. Chalev, fat, was considered a delicacy. They couldn't afford to eat chalev. Oif, kosher bird, was considered a delicacy. They couldn't normally eat kosher bird. So that's why it's not considered a food in the villages unless you have machshava. That's one approach. Another approach is, Because they were poor, so they didn't use the chalev to eat, to use the schmaltz for food, to put on their bread. They used the chalev to make vessels out of the chalev, candles, whatever, and they didn't use it as a food. And the Velas Oiftar, and here we speak about a very fundamental machloikus rishonim. They say the fact that they didn't eat it in the villages doesn't make it not a food. Just because I can't afford bird doesn't mean it's not a food. They say that they felt that the Velas Oiftar wasn't healthy. And they didn't eat it because they wanted to eat healthier food. And this question is an interesting question that's relevant la halacha lemaisa. Because the halacha is that we know when we get up in the morning, we have to wash negelvasa. And the Mishnah Berurah paskins that if you didn't wash negelvasa and you touched food, you have to at least wash that food to be able to eat the food. Now we need to know what is food. So you could have a situation where in certain communities they eat food, they eat something as a food, and it's considered a food. And in another community it's not considered a food. So some Rishonim will say, we look at each community independently. And some say if it's a food in one place, it's a food everywhere. Tzrichem machshava. They need a machshava to make it into a food. Ve'etzrichem hechsher. But Hechsher, because again, the Velus Oif Tar and the Velus Beim Tumeya has a high level Tumma Chamura, Tumas Nevela, and therefore you don't need Hechsher. But ask the Gemara again the same question. Vi Amrit Isura Cheshuva, if we're saying now a new Svara of Isura Cheshuva, that's why it's subject to Tumas Oichlin according to the Rabbanan, Salam Aliyah Machshava. Why is the Machshava required? Again, says the Gemara. Hamani, who's the Tan of that Mishnah? Shimon, who doesn't buy into the concept of Isur Cheshuva. It's an interesting point that I saw that the Stipler makes. When we speak about food, he says, when we speak about food, we think about food in Halacha in two different categories, in two different subjects. One is Tumas Eichlin, the subject of today's shir. And then we think about food as Tumas, as Isveheter, kosher and non-kosher food. So he says, he makes a very interesting point. He says, for a food to be considered a food for Issa Veheter, it's much easier than for Hilchus Tumah. There's no concept of machshava by food. In other words, if you have a cheeseburger is also to be eaten. The fact that you decided to eat it or not doesn't make a difference. But all these foods that are asr, we're learning you have to have machshava. On the other hand, he says, to make something not be considered a food, it's much easier to lose a category of food for Issa Veheter than for Tumah. By Tumah, it loses its category only when it's not Royal Achilles Kalef. Totally inedible. For Issa Veheter, if it's not edible, it's not a food. Even though maybe you could serve it to a dog. Why? How do we understand this? What's the problem? So he says, Hilchus Oichel for Issa Veheter depends on food. Is it edible? If it's edible, it's a food. If it's not edible, it's not a food. Tumah Tahara has nothing to do with you eating it. It has to do with a halachic status. So it doesn't get halachic status unless you give it that halachic status. But it can't lose it unless it totally becomes disqualified. So again, ask the Gemara, that the Gemara is suggesting that the reason for the Rabbanan is Surah Cheshuvah. Toshma, it says in the Braisa, Nevelus Behemah Tahara B'Kol Makom. Because they ate, the veil of a behemoth tire was eaten everywhere. And the veil is oif tar v'chelev, b'shvakim, in the market. Because in the market, you'll always find a customer for anything. And it's tzricha machshava. V'loi hechsha. What does it seem to be saying? Ha t'meya. If it would be in the veil of behemoth t'meya, which I said before, is particularly moss, particularly repugnant, and nobody eats it, b'loi machshava. So again, here we see that even though it's a food that's asr, machshav is required. I, according to Rabbanan, asked the Gemara, is surah cheshuva. Says the Gemara right away, v'chi teimi, here too, you try to give the same answer that we've given already twice in the last couple of moments, that hamani, who's the town of this brisa, Reb Shimon he? Says the Gemara, that won't work. Because hamani the sefer, let's continue learning this brisa. The sefer of this brisa represents Reb Shimon Haver, represents the opinion of Reb Shimon, indicating that the Reish is not Reb Shimon, that the Reish isn't following his opinion. For explains the Gemara. The Tani Sefer, what does it say in the Sefer? Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, Af Agomo, which is a camel, Vanevis, Vashofer, Vachazer. What's the common denominator of all these animals? All of these animals are non-kosher animals, but have one simen of kashrus. Don't require machshav and a hechsher. Rav Shimon says, why are they considered an oichel? He says, a very bechidish. However, yesh boy simoni tahara. As I just explained, they each have one simon tahara. So that makes them something, and that's why machshav is not required. But what do we see? That the sefer is Rav Shimon. The reisha that says you need machshava is the Rabbanan. But according to Rabbanan, if it's osur, it's nevelus oif, Tamei, why do you need a machshava? Isur cheshuva. But let's stop for a moment and talk about this concept. Fascinating concept. The Gemara is saying here that we have all these animals, totally non-kosher. Not only the chazer, right? Not only the gomel, but it has some sort of a cheshivas. Why? Because it has a simon kashrus. Why? How do we understand Rav Shimon's opinion? So Mefarshim say, and this goes back to a subject that we've discussed many times in our shiurim. We've discussed what do the simoni kashrus mean. We know that what's the definition of a kosher animal? that has two simanic kashrus. It chose its card and has split hoofs. And we've asked, what does that mean? To use the yeshivish language, is it a simen or is it a siba? Does it mean that's not what makes it kosher? Or yes, this is what makes it kosher. Rav Shimon Seir Achroinim obviously is of the opinion that it's not just a sim, it's not just a, it's what makes them kosher, it's a siba. And therefore, if they have one simen, they're closer to being kosher. And that's why it's an oichel. And actually, Rav Shimon is l'shitasai. Why? Because let's remember an opinion of Rav Shimon that we learned earlier in our parak. We learned Rav Shimon said that if a para had a gomel, you're not allowed to eat that gomel. Not like the Mishnah. Why? Because Rav Shimon says we look at the gomel. And the gomel doesn't have the simoni kashrus, you're not allowed to eat it. So we see Rav Shimon's l'shitasai that he says that the sim, it's not just a simen, it's a siba. What's the problem with this pshat? The problem with this pshat is, because Rav Shimon also said, what would be if you had a parah born from a gomel? So if Rav Shimon says that we look at the simonim, and that's what makes the animal kosher, so then the halacha ought to be that that parah you're allowed to eat. It has all the simonic kashrus. Yet even Rav Shimon agrees that you're not allowed to eat it. Rav Nachum Zembe's kasha on this whole pshat. Interesting. Just to make it a little interesting. So now Rav Shimon was Mechadish, and actually the Gemara is going to say the Svar on Amud Beis again. The fact that it has one Simon Kashrus makes a difference. So what would be the halacha, as sort of Yitzchak Zilberstein asks, somebody has to eat non-kosher meat. And he has a choice. He could eat the meat of an animal that has only one Simon Kashrus, or he could eat the meat of an animal that has no simoni kashrus. Should he prefer to eat camel meat or chazer? Because here it seems to say that a simon makes a difference. So he says that he asked this question of his father-in-law, Rabbi Yashiv, and Rabbi Yashiv wasn't ready to say that that should be a svara. Ella, so we're back to where we started. We need to understand the opinion of the Rabbanon when we have all these foods that we began to share with that are also bahanah, and yet they say are subject to Tumas Eichlin. Nobody says that's Sfara. V'di Arfa Merif, and therefore if you took an Egel Arufo, you took a Petach Amar, and you did Arifa, and it's also Bahano, Hachinami, it's certainly not subject to Tumas Eichlin. So what is the case that the Rabbanon are speaking to? Hach Ma'iskinen, Kigon Sheshach to Islamit. That you chose to do Shechita for practice on these non-kosher animals. And they're actually discussing a machloikis of Nimus v'Rebelozer. The Tanya Amar Rabbi Yosi, Sachli Nimus Ochav Shavishua Hagarsi. Nimus taught me, Sheshaych Resa Oirif, if somebody shechs a raven, L'slamed boy, for practice, Dama Machsha. It becomes subject to Tumas Eichlin. Rabbi Loza Amar, Dam Shechit El Oilem Machsha. So before the Gemara goes further, ask the Gemara, Rabbi Loza Hanatam Kama, they're both agreeing that this Oirif is subject to Tumas Eichlin. What are they disagreeing over? El Lav, Isurich Shuvah Ikebenayu. And the definition of Isurich Shuvah here is not the same definition that we had before. Way most Rishonim say Isurich Shuvah is the fact that you did a Shechita, even though it's only a Shechita for practice, it's a non-kosher animal, or it's an animal you're not allowed to know, does it make a difference? Rashi says a little different. I said the Pashut Pshat. Rashi says a little more complicated Pshat. The fact that you have this, because what's bothering Rashi, the way I explain the words Isur Cheshuvah don't mean anything here. It should say Shechita Cheshuvah. That's what Rashi says, you have to combine the fact that you did a Shechita with the concept that we had before of Isur Cheshuvah. But Isur Cheshuvah alone, we already proved, doesn't stand on its own. But when you combine the Isur Cheshuvah with the Shechita, maybe that will make that it should be susceptible to Tumas Eichlin. Tanakam Sover, Dam Machshel Alma. Yes, Shechita is a machshir. Dam Shechita is a machshir. Avol Gufa by Machshava. If you shechted an Oirif, Lislamid, it won't be considered Tumas Eichlin. Vas Rebbe Lez Lameima, Dan Shechuta Loilem Machshir Afil Gufa. The fact that you did a Shechita on this bird makes it subject to Tumas Eichlin, and Loi by Machshava, Machshava won't be required. So now, the Gemara is suggesting that the machloikus of Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon in the cases that we began with is a very simple machloikus. If you did shechit on an animal that you can't do, that the shechit is meaningless. It's a practice shechita. Will become mukshel kabbalt. Is it going to be makabot? Is it going to become part of the Thomas Eichlin category? Rabbanan say yes. Rav Shimon says not. Says the Gemara, who says to explain the machloikis of Rav Shimon Rabbanan that way? Maybe there's a different way of explaining based on the concept that we just discussed. Dur matam de beleza hasam the shani oriv ahar v'yesh by simani tara. That's all different. Let's think about an oriv. You know what? Before we think about an oriv, let's think about Masech Techulin. In Masech Techulin, when we learned the halachas of what are and what aren't kosher birds, we learned as follows. First of all, let's learn what we do. We only eat, even though by animals, as I just said a moment ago, animals have very clear simonim, what is and what isn't a kosher animal. It has split hooves and chews its cud. The bird simonim are much more complicated. We learned about having a zekvek, kukovnoi niklaf, an extra finger, very complicated simonim. So the Gemara said that our minig is, the Gemara says, that we only eat birds that we have a Messiah, that we have a tradition we're allowed to eat. But we remember that Gemara, we also learned that if you look at all of the birds, every bird has at least one simon kashrus, besides the nesher, the eagle. It's the only exception to the rule. So not a Gemara's very geschmack. We just said a new svara. That if something has a Rav Shimon svara, that if something has a simon kashrus, that makes it somewhat of an oichel, even though you're not allowed to eat it, of course. And that's the machlokes of Rav Elazar and Nimus. Rav Elazar says the oriv has at least one simon kashrus, because all birds have at least one simon kashrus. They actually may have two or three, and that's why it's subject to Tumas Oichlin. Nimus doesn't agree to that concept. Says the Ramamai, who says that the svara has to do with shechita, with a practice shechita? That's why he makes it subject to simana. That's why he makes it. And the other one not. Ask the Gemara. And from where do we take that makes a difference? The fact that it has a simanitara? Or the Noam, the simanitara milsihi? From where do we take that should make a difference? The tani alaydihi? We just learned on Amad Aleph. Amrab Shimon Haravayesh by simanitara. Ask the Gemara. V'chi tema. If the point of the Oyrev is not because of Shechita and why I did the Shechita for practice or for whatever purpose, it's just because it has a Simitara, so why did they speak about a case where they took the bird and they did a Shechita for practice? What's the difference? It's the fact that it's a bird with a Simitara that is the issue. Says the Gemara, actually correct. Enechanami, umishim nimus. What the Gemara was trying to say was that even Nimus, to show us how strong Nimus sticks to his position. Number one, you have the bird that's an Oyrev that has Simani Tara. Number two, you did a Shechita practice one. So that's all the reason in the world that you ought to say that it should be subject to Thomas Eichlin. Still teaches us Nimus that it's not. But actually, Rebbe Lezer's opinion has nothing to do with the Shechita. It has to do with one point, that it has Simani Tara. Eisvei asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, L'arotz l'ftoisoi, if one did not want to be poided to Petach Amor, or for Bekupitz, you decapitated with an axe. I saw Chaim Kanievsky explains that the reason, Mechur from the back, I saw that Chaim Kanievsky explains the why should you do Bekupitz. He said, it's really not a halach in Petach Amor, it's really a halach in Egla Rufa. The halach by regla rufa is that you want it to die instantaneously. And this is the way that will be accomplished. V'osbahano, and that petach amor that you did a rufa to will be osbahano, divrei Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, matter. So we began today's shir with Rava making a statement that Reb Shimon holds that a petach amor after a rufa is osbahano. This price clearly says the opposite. Answers the Gemara, Ema, Umechaim osbahano. They're not arguing after the Arifa. After the Arifa, everybody agrees that it's osbahano. They're arguing Mechaim. Tanakama, who's Reb Yehuda holds, osbahano, Reb Shimon matter. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that pshat? For amid the Sefer, let's continue learning that Braisa. Where the Sefer clearly is talking about that the Peter Chamorah Michaim is still alive, mid the Sefer Michaim Hava, isn't that clearly indication Reisha La Michaim, that the Reisha is talking about when the Peter Chamorah is not alive, and yet we see that they're arguing. The Tanna, he say, for what does it say in the Sefer? Lo Yamisena, Lo Bekona, Velo Bemago, Velo Bekardo, Velo Magirim. Don't use a reed and a saw and all these different knives. Don't take it into a room. And just close the door. One is not allowed to have, use its wool or use the bechor for work, the petach amor. Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, matter. So we see that the Reish is talking about chayim. So the Sefer is obviously talking about lachem meisa. And yet we see Rav Shimon disagrees, and he holds it's mutter b'hanah. Says the Marno. The entire Braisa is talking about where the animal is alive. So what Reish of a Sefer is talking about that the petach amor mechayim is alive. So what is the difference between the Reish and the Sefer? Reish is referring to hanah of hanah stamav. That means if you rented out this petach amor to someone else, are you allowed to use the proceeds, the money that you get? And the Sefer is talking about Nas Gufa, when you're using the actual Petach Amor, like we learned, the wool of the Petach Amor itself. Says the Gemara. But if it's talking about Michayim, and the same Achloikas of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon applies. The Rabbi Yehuda holds a Michayim, it's always Os B'Hanah. And Rabbi Shimon holds Michayim, it's always Mut B'Hanah. So why do we have to differentiate between Hanah Stomav and Nas Gufa? V'Tzricha. Says the Gemara why we had to mention both cases. Dear Tani Hanah Stomav, if we only had the case of Anos Domov, but who kashar Rav Shimon? We'd say Rav Shimon, who takes a lenient opinion about Hanor from a Petach Amor, is only talking about Hanos Domov. Aber Hanos Gufa, to actually use the Petach Amor, I'm reminded later Rabbi Yehuda that that's Osir. We talk about Hanos Gufa, if the would have spoken only about Hanos Gufa, we would suggest that he kashar Rabbi Yehuda. That's where Rabbi Yehuda takes the strong opinion. Avol by Noras Domov, even Maida Rav Shimon. Maybe Rav Shimon will be Maida Tzricha. Interesting Machlokes Rishonim, Tor versus the Beis Yosef. While be the halacha, if somebody gives to someone else, sells to someone else a Petach Amor, and he tells them up front that what I'm selling you is a Petach Amor, and you have the responsibility of being paid to the Petach Amor, I'm telling you up front everything. Do I have to deduct the value of what the pigeon will be? Because otherwise I'm having Hanor from the Petach Amor. And Al Gemara says, and that's the halacha contributing not a lot of Hanor from Petach Amor. Or the fact that I told you that this is a Petach Amor, and you agreed to be paid it, is enough that I've done what I have to do, and I could take all of the proceeds that you give me. Goes back to Gemara. So now, where we're up to is, we thought that what we began the shiur with, that Rav Shimon holds, that a Petach Amor, the Rav says, that Rav Shimon holds that a Petach Amor, La Harifas Osa B'Hanor, was refuted, but it's not refuted. And indeed, says the Gemara, V'chein Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Avua, May Rav Shimon La Harifa, Shu Osa. That after the Harifa, the Petach Amor is Osa B'Hanor. Von Rav Nachman, Menor Aminah. How do I know that? So as we said at the beginning of this year, the Tanya, the Pasuk says regarding the Petach Amor for Rafta, Nemekan Arifa, the Torah uses here the words Arifa, V'Nemelahalon, and there too does the Torah use the word Arifa, Ma Lahalon, just like by Daregla Arufa, it's Osu B'Hanah, Afkan Osu. And the Gemara drills down further. Mani, who is the Tana of this Braisa? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda, if we're going to say it's Rabbi Yehuda, Mechayim Meis Asa. I don't need Rabbi Yehuda to tell me it's Asa Banor. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's already Asa Banor when it was alive. El Alav, who must be the Tana of this Braisa? Rabbi Shivanhi, who says that even though when it's alive, it's not Asa Banor, Lacharif it is. Omele Rav Sheshis, Safra Chavrich Targma. Rav Safra, who was your colleague, explained that that Braisa is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Vistrich. I will quote Rabbi Yehuda, why do I have to tell you it's Asa B'Hanor? If it's already Asa B'Hanor when it's alive, it's certainly Asa B'Hanor Lacher Arifa. No. The Sakadat HaChamina. Because we would think, arifa b'mokim p'diyoy medes, that the arifa should be considered like it had pigeon. Ma p'dima teres. Let's think about a petach hamor. The basic halacha petach hamor, that I do what, as we'll see, you're supposed to do. I take the petach hamor and I redeem it with a seh. Not a hamor is completely mine. I could do whatever I want with the petach hamor. So we would think that arifa and pigeon are just two different options, two different alternatives. And after the arifa, the petach hamor is like after the pigeon. Ma, saka da'at chamina, arifa b'mokim b'diyah medes, ma b'diyah materes, af arifa materes, kamash mo'am. So before we go further, Rav Aaron Kotler says a very powerful vort based on this Gemara. He says, here we see that Rabbi Yehuda indeed, and certainly Rabbi Yehuda, holds that a petach hamor is also b'hanor michayim, but a petach hanor, and a petach hanor is also b'hanor lachem isa. He says, but it's not one continuous isa hanor. They come from two different places and have very different rules. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rav Nachman min Ali min Allah, min Tani Levi, why is indeed the halacha that the petach hamor after a rifa also b'hanor, who hifsid b'moyne shalkoyin, he did the wrong thing. Because a arif is a terrible thing to do. Instead of doing pinyin seh and having the koyin get the seh and you getting the petach hamor, what did you do? You killed the hamor. You have nothing and the koyin has nothing. The fikach yashin memoina. Now let's explain. Mani, who is the tan of this b'raisa? Ilayim Rabbi Yehuda, let's think about it. Hamish v'koy. He anyway is not having any anor from it. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds the petach hamor, you're not allowed to have anor from chayim. Elav, Rav Shimon. So again, we have, isn't this a raya that Shimon holds that a petach hamor lach arif is osba anor? Says the Gemara, it's not necessarily that way. Ibayis em Rabbi Yehuda, Ibayis em Rabbi Shimon. Ibayis em Rabbi Yehuda, apseid the beini beini. Because Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us a chiddush that while it's alive, you could have some hanor from it. Why? Because the halacha, we said it, we're learning more in the coming shurim, is that the seh could be less valuable than the chamor. So let's say, if the chamor is worth $100, and the seh is worth $50, so if you did pigeon, you'd get $50. You'd have a $50 gain, because it cost you $50 to buy seh, and you keep the whole chamor. If you do a refi, you lose the whole $100. So that's why this price could be following the opinion of Shimon, of Yehuda, Ibayis Eima, Rav Shimon, Lefchas Misa. Even Rav Shimon, who says that you can have Hanor from a live Petach Hamor, a live Petach Hamor is certainly more valuable than a dead Petach Hamor. V'kein Amar Esh Lakish, however, says the Gemara, Mar Rav Shimon Lach Arifish Shuasar. V'Rav Yoichan V'Tayim Rav Elazar Oimer, Ike Adani Machloikis, the Machloikis if it's Mutam Michayim Banor, or not, Machlok Rabbi Yehuda of Shimon applies la'ach arifa as well. Ikka de masal hadar of Nachman ha. Others say Rav Nachman's halacha was said regarding the following halacha. It says, ha'makadish v'petach hamor. If somebody uses a petach hamor to make a kedushin, enem mekudeshes. Says the Gemara, la'im maslisin like Rav Shimon. Isn't this Mishnah not like Rav Shimon? Because according to Rav Shimon, you're allowed to have anor for petach hamor. So why can't you do a kedushin with it? Omer of Nachman, Omer of Avua, Lach Arifa. No, we're talking here about the Chamor after Arifa. There is Shimon agrees it's Osba Hanor. The Divri Hakol, that's why it's Enim Mekudeshes. Ikud Amri, but there's a different version. Lai Rabbi Yehuda v'Lai Rabbi Shimon. Ir Rabbi Shimon, because if we're going to say it's Rabbi Shimon, Tegdish Bekulei. Because Rabbi Shimon says it's Mutab Hanor. So if it's Mutab Hanor, why can't I do a Kedushin with it? And even according to Rabbi Yehuda, Tegdish Behachta Beini Beini. We just said that the chamor is more than the seh. So that value that you're giving the woman a petach chamor should be what she could use, should be the money that should be the kesef kedushin. Amar Bavua, Loi Lam Rabbi Yehuda. Kugan She'en Shava El Shekel. We're talking about a case where the entire chamor is only worth a shekel. V'savala Krab Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya, Tifta Miyad, Tifta Kalshu. You could use any seh, no matter how inexpensive it is, for pidyon petach hamor. So now, let's say you have a seh, let's say you have a chamor that's worth a shekel, and the seh has to be worth a shekel, so you have no profit in the chamor. That's why Yehuda holds that if you have such a chamor, you're not giving the woman anything. And that's why it's not considered a valid opinion. One more interesting point. The Gemara said according to Shimon that pet chamor is mutter bahana, so tikdish bekula, you could give her the whole chamor. So if you recall, when we began the Masechta, we had a discussion if women are mechuyev in pet chamor. This is a raya that women are not mechuyev in pet chamor. Because what does the Gemara say? According to Shimon, I give the whole pet chamor to the woman, and she keeps it. I mean, she keeps it. Doesn't she have a chiv, a pidyon pet chamor? It must be that she has no chiv. But that's contrary to the opinion that we quoted the Rajba and all the Rishonim say the women are mechuyev pet chamor. So how do we say tikdish bekula? If she still now will have, now that she has the pet chamor, she has the obligation to do pidyon pet chamor. How does the Gemara say that she tikdish bekula? So Mefarshim explained, she'll keep the whole pet chamor. And the man who gave her the pet chamor, he'll have the responsibility to take the seh. That's why tikdish bekula, she can keep the whole chamor.